We're live. Okay. So, we're going to pick up this morning looking a little bit more at God, our perfect Heavenly Father. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Very easy to find this verse.
Page number? 1324. Oops, she already got it. 1324. Sorry. Go ahead and find 1324.
She was faster than us. Okay, 1327. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Somebody read verse 1 through 3, nice and loud. One of the kids. 1 through 3, but you got to read it loud. So, did you have your hand up? Okay, go ahead. Yes. Thank you. Perfect. Right there. Good job. Okay. So yours says the exact, in verse 3, exact representation. You see that? It's a different word than mine. I'm going to borrow it for just a second. Exact expression. Verse 3, somewhere right there. So the Son, Jesus Christ, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of His nature. So what do you know, or how do we know about God the Father, who He is, and what's He like? How do we know that? This verse told us something about that. Jesus Christ, right? He is the exact expression of His nature. Jesus Christ showed us who God is, because Jesus Christ is the physical aspect of God. Father, Son, and Spirit. We're going to turn to the Gospel of John in a moment, in John chapter 1, and look at a couple of other things, which I'm not going to cover some of the stuff that Keaton covered, but he already showed us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 says that He became flesh. Jesus Christ is called the Word. He is called God because He was God. We already saw that Jesus Christ was there 6,000 years ago in Genesis 1. And Jesus Christ is the one that created the world. So there's Christ is the physical part of God. The Father is the spiritual part of God, if you will. So there's more of the thinking and the doing aspect of God, if you want to think of it that way in just a simple terms. Jesus Christ is God, but He's more of the physical doing part of God that does the work that God is doing with regard to this earth, like creating it, creating you and I and the mountains and the trees and the oceans, coming to the earth to be the sacrifice, the human blood sacrifice that was required for the payment of sins. That aspect of God was Jesus that came and did that. The Father is the thinking aspect that made the will, the plan, the purpose, and directed it all. And then He said, okay, this is how I'm going to make it happen. That's about the simplest that we can talk about it. So we know that Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for our sins, right? He was God in the flesh who came to the world, who is perfect without sin His entire life. Therefore, He was able to pay the price, because God's righteous standard said it has to be a sinless, perfect sacrifice in order to pay this penalty that my standard requires for sin. It wasn't for Jesus' sin, because He didn't have any. He said He would do it for you and me and everyone else in the world, because they need a Savior. They need a sacrifice, and they can't provide it for their own, and I'm going to do it. And I'm going to be that sacrifice, and I'm going to go ahead and die for them. I'm willing to do it, even if they don't want it. I'm willing to pay that price to offer it to them. Like Jeannie said, He said, I'm willing to provide this, even if they don't want it. For everybody. So He did.
That's the aspect of God. Jesus Christ is the physical aspect of God that said, they're worth it. They're worth it to me. You could put your name in the blank. You're worth it to God. So this is the aspect of Jesus Christ. When you say, who do we say that Jesus Christ is? He is the means by which we can know our Heavenly Father. If you want to know the Creator that created you, if you want to have that new spiritual Father that none of us had when we were just born into this world, we get to choose whether we have that spiritual perfect Father or not. If you want to have that, Jesus Christ is the way. John 14:6. We're not going to go there. Just write this down for those of you that are taking notes. Keaton already quoted it for us. Jesus Christ said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to what? No. More specific. You're right. No. Jesus is saying no man comes to the
Father
but through him. Which is God, so both the answers are correct. But he says, I am the only way that any human being can know their perfect Heavenly Father and have that relationship with the perfect Heavenly Father. So in just the four Gospels, you guys know what the Gospels are, right? There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? Those four Gospels, in those, Jesus Christ calls God Father 189 times. That's pretty significant. If he didn't want us to understand that relationship between him and his Father in that just a relationship, even though they're one in character and essence and they're the same person, two different aspects, but he was trying to model a relationship with. So because of what we see in Scripture, Jesus Christ essentially did three things for us. So, Jesus Christ, number one, he taught us about the Father. He taught the Father to you and I. What do you know about God the Father? Only that which we see from Jesus Christ. The life of Jesus Christ on the earth was the representation of the character of God living in a human body. If you want to know what God the Father would be like if he was a human, it's really simple. You can. All you got to do is look at the life of Jesus Christ. He was the perfect representation. The reason I know that, Gospel of John. You might as well turn to Gospel of John chapter 1 because we're going to bounce around here for a little bit. Gospel of John chapter 1. So that's back a few pages. From Hebrew, back towards the front of your Bible a little ways. Gospel of John chapter 1. Say that again. 119. Perfect. It's one of them numbers. Okay, John. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 18. Somebody read it really loud. Different person this time. Okay, Gospel of John, 1:18. Verse 18, chapter 1. Staff member could read it loud. Somebody, quickly. Perfect. No one has seen God, that's the Father. Nobody's seen the Father at any time. The only begotten Son, or God, depending on your Bible translation, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. Jesus Christ fully explained to the world and to us, because it's written down, who God is and who the Father is and what he's like. That's interesting. So he taught us about the Father. The second thing he did, this is really important for your and I's life, he modeled the father-slash-son relationship to us. He modeled that relationship to us. Anybody know what modeled means?
What does a model do if you're going to try to model something?
I'm going to try to representative example. Good word. That's a good word. It was like that example to show us how it works.
He not only taught the Father, he also modeled the Father or that Father-Son relationship to us. And the other thing that we see from the word we just saw is he made possible. I should say made it possible. For us to know our Heavenly Father. So you might say, he made that
relationship possible. He taught the Father, he modeled the Father, and he made a relationship with him possible for us. That's what Jesus Christ did. When we talk about who do you say that I am, he's all the things Kevin was telling us about. He's all the things Keaton was telling us about. He's all the things that the ladies and people so far in their little snippets and stuff have described to us. He is many, many, many different things. There's many different titles or names given to him from the Old Testament in Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. Throughout the Bible, there's many, many, many names or titles that are used to describe Jesus Christ because he was such an amazing, unique individual in human history. Because he's God who became flesh and said, these people need something. I'm the only one that can offer it to them. They may not all want it, but I'm going to offer it anyways because I have the capacity to do it and I love them enough they're worth it. That's what he did. These are important things about Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1, since we're already in John chapter 1, let's go back to verse 10. I'm going to read now. I should probably read from... be nice if I could read from one of your Bibles. Can I borrow that Bible? In the beginning, this is the verse 1 of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the... or excuse me, I'm in the wrong verse. 10, I'm looking for 10. Found it. He, this is talking about Jesus Christ... He was in the world, and the world was created through him. Remember, we saw that in Colossians chapter 1. Jesus Christ was there in creation. Yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. That was the Israelites, the Jewish people that you read about in the Gospels. Verse 12, but to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be the children of God. He gave you that right. And all you had to do is receive him. That's all we have to do to become a child of God. And it says that because now he tells us how to receive him. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. If you're one of those people that likes to underline in your Bible, amen, hallelujah, good job. Underline of God. Verse 13, see it says, who were born? Put a little underline under, who were born? Verse 13, right at the top, who were born? Then skip down and the last two words, of God, the bottom of verse 13, underline that. You might think about that little word, of. I want to talk about that little word, of. Of God. He says, you were born not just of your mom and dad. He said, he's not born of man's desires, the will of man, or some man's, even of man. Your spiritual life has nothing to do with your mother or your father, who they are. Doesn't matter. He says, with regard to this being a child of God, this new family relationship, to receive a heavenly father, receive by believing in his name. What that just means is you just accept, you believe, hey, I know he died for me. I accept that you died for me and you paid the penalty for my sin. I asked you to be my Savior. I believe it. It's simple. That receives, now you're a child of God. You're in a new family. Now you have a new father and you have new brothers and sisters. Every other person who put their faith in Christ is your brother or sister. In a spiritual sense, in the church, the family of God, we're all brothers and sisters. But the idea here is you are born of God. Have you ever thought about that before? You weren't just born of whoever. you know, whoever your mom and dad's names are, you're born of God. Not, doesn't say by God necessarily. Doesn't say anything about your power to bring it about. He didn't say you bore yourself or made yourself be born of. He says this happened. You're born of God. You're a child of that Father. That is extremely important. Galatians 4 verse 4, just write this in your notes please. Galatians 4 verse 4 says that Jesus Christ gave us the right to become children of God, to receive adoption into the family. And that adoption into the family has two aspects. Yes, you get to become a child in the family because Jesus gave you the right. But number two, children in the family receive inheritance. Those then, when they grow up to a certain level, they even receive extra blessing and inheritance. God has more to give us than just getting into the family. There's much more that He wants for your life. He wants to bless your life in ways that you don't understand yet. He wants to bring blessing in all of our lives, but some of that blessing comes from whether or not we are a faithful, obedient child or not. Just like in sports. I love the motto that says, hard work. I'm trying to think what it says. Hard work beats talent. Whenever talent fails to work hard, there's a saying just something similar to that. It don't matter how gifted and talented you are. If you're lazy and you don't put any time and effort into whatever sport you're involved in, there can be somebody who has a little less God-given talent to you that works and works and works and works at it. And when a push comes to shove at the end of the year, that can still be, talent can be beat. The whole idea behind that is God also rewards us for our diligence and our faithfulness, and for our effort. Once you're a child in the family, you have all the blessings of your Father, as much as any other child in that family. But the question is, what are you going to do with it? He says there, we become kids, if you will, kids in the family of God. We're adopted into that family, not because we were great people and that we deserved to be in that family, because He said, yes, I will die for that one. I'll make it possible for that one to become one of my kids if they want to be. And they can receive that gift. And if they do, then they become a child in the family. Then, if you want dad's blessing along the way, be faithful. He will always, there's certain blessings that you'll always have as a child of God. He'll always love you no matter what. Even if you're kind of a rebellious kid, He still loves you. He's still going to give us grace and mercy every day of our life. He may have to direct us and give us a little bit more stronger direction and instruction than others when we're a little bit rebellious, but He's always going to love us and try to accomplish that plan in our life. He won't force you to be a good, faithful child. It's like the old saying goes, champions don't become champions in the nursery. They never have and they never will. I don't care what sport it is, and I don't care if you want to talk about Christianity, if you want to talk about the military. This morning we were talking about the military. There's never been a soldier who did as little as he could or she could and just wanted to kind of mediocre, halfway, half-assed through the military that ever got any kind of medal. Why? Because medals don't go to those that haven't earned them. With regard to the Christian way of life, God also will bless and reward our life. The more that we honor Him, the more that we serve Him, the more that we become like He, John was just talking about, the more that we become the people that are like Jesus Christ, to show the love of Christ to this world, that are servants to other people, the one that give of ourselves for the benefit of others, that are the strong that help bear the infirmities of the weak. When individual Christians do that, God blesses and rewards us. Just like in sports and athletics and in the military, faithfulness, diligence, hard work, sacrifice of yourself is rewarded. Soldiers don't get rewarded because they spent money. Soldiers don't get rewarded because they were born bigger and stronger than others. Audie Murphy, the second most decorated military soldier ever, most decorated in World War II, was 5'5" and weighed 122 pounds. He was no big strapping great. He didn't get rewards because he was some big super strong stud. you know, why he was awarded, same way with all the other people, whether it's in the Olympics or whether it's in the military, you know why? Because they chose to sacrifice. Because they chose to say, yes, I'll give of myself and I'll give it 110%. That's the reason. So Christ taught us mostly about God's, the Father's relationship to his children. Every one of us in this room has a thirst for a Father's blessing. Every one of you. You have a natural thirst within your soul for your Father's blessing in this world. Your earthly father, whether it's father, stepfather, whatever situation. That father figure. Every single child has it. A father's blessing essentially can be narrowed down to four important things. Number one, that what we thirst for, first part of our father's blessing is to be loved by a dad. And when I say loved by a dad, I don't mean you desire to have somebody say those words a lot. I mean every soul in this room, even those of us that are grown up, even if your father is no longer alive, if your father is gone, you still, all the days of your life when you're alive, you still, deep in your soul, seek that blessing and approval of a father. The first part of it is to be loved. And I mean to have it hurt, to hear it, and to have it proved. Every one of you wants to have a father show and prove that they actually love you. The second part of this father's blessing that we're all thirsting for is approval and acceptance. Every one of us. I still have this. My father's still alive. He lives 6 hours away from me. I only see him a couple times a year. But deep down in my soul, I still have that. I can relate to these. I still want the approval of my father. I'm 43 years old. I still want the acceptance of my father. Do they accept you unconditionally? Do you know that they are proud of you because you're their child? Even if you mess up and it's not based on your mistakes, the good stuff and the bad stuff that you do, because you are their offspring and their child, you give them that approval and that acceptance. They know it. They don't have to ask and they don't have to wonder because they know it. The third thing that all of us are thirsting for from our fathers is active participation in our life. You want your father to be involved in your life. Not just to see him 5 minutes a day or once a month or whatever, or to have him say, oh yeah, that's really good, I'm glad, boy, you just, yeah, go ahead and do that, and yeah, well, maybe later, maybe later. There's been many, many songs written about this. Dads need to be an active participant in their life. Dads are busy. They have lots of responsibility to provide for families and stuff and different jobs. I understand not all dads can spend a certain number of hours a week that other dads can with their kids or whatever. But nevertheless, it needs to be active in their life. The whole motto of quality time can sometimes be a replacement for quantity of time. I don't really believe that. I never have. I don't think it's a real biblical concept either. It's good to have good quality time and not just hours in the same room where dad's watching TV or doing whatever. But I think we need to actively be involved in our children's lives. You seek that. You know what? All of these things that we're talking about here, you and I also have a thirst in our soul from our Heavenly Father. And He'll never fail us in any of these. Our fathers, my father was a pretty good dad, all in all. He was a pretty good dad, but he wasn't a perfect one. You know, no father is perfect. The fourth one that we thirst for is to have a spoken faith in us or a spoken confidence in us. You desire for your dad to show you and to tell you, not just for you to have to guess it and see it by his actions, but also not just words, to show you and to tell you that they believe in you, they have confidence in you, they know that you can do things, whatever those things are. Fathers who have a lot of doubt in their kids, maybe you can do a little better next time. Well, that was a good try, but you know, you just keep working, maybe you'll get good at that. I mean, we don't want to lie to kids, and you don't want your dad just to lie to you and tell you you're the perfect Michael Jordan all the time when you can't be, and you know you're not. But that the other idea or the other aspect of that is we desire to have our Father show us and tell us that He has confidence and He believes in us. He knows that we can do and accomplish things. These four things that we thirst for from our human fathers, every one of those four things, we also thirst for from our Creator. We don't all recognize that. We don't all realize it, but we do. See, we can have that because no matter what we have in this lifetime from our physical fathers, we have all four of these things from our spiritual Father. He loves us. He doesn't just tell us that many different times in many ways in the Bible, but He showed it to us. How? What was the greatest way that God showed that He loved us? That's exactly right. John 3:16 says that. For God so loved the world. It doesn't just say, and God did love the world. It says He so loved, and that little preposition in there adds the whole idea of He loved us to this great extent that He was willing to become flesh and be killed and crucified by His own creation. So that it would accomplish that ability to give us, as Galatians 4 says, that right, the right to be a son or a daughter of your heavenly daddy. See, we need to understand, I think, more about this aspect of our Father. We know a lot of good things about God. I mean, we know a lot of things about God as far as His righteousness and justice and love, and He never changes, and He's always truthful, and He's all powerful, and all those things. But in real life, knowing those things, it's good. I mean, those are true. That's who God is. Describes His character. But in the reality, when you're hurting and when you're struggling or when you're just going through the everyday struggles of life, whether you're my age or your age or anybody in this room, the justice of God doesn't necessarily get me through. Knowing God's just isn't necessarily going to be the thing that I need to get me through. I heard, you know, there's some of these things that you're seeing, some of the things that I am presenting to you today, I stole from Louis Giglio. Some of you know who he is. One of the things he says, I think, is really important. How many of us can wrap our arms around the justice of God? Kind of hard to do that, isn't it? I think that's a pretty good line. Because the reality of it is, that perfect Heavenly Father that we know, that He shows us that He loves us and He accepts us no matter what, unconditionally. And He shows His approval of us as His child. He has great blessings available to us that He wants to give us if we would just but receive them. He shows us and He tells us over and over the confidence that He has in us, that He things that He expects us to do, He asks us to do. He gives us the ability to do those things. And then He says, and I know you can. If we will, all of those kinds of things, that kind of a daddy, if you think about it this way, our spiritual daddy, when we start looking at how he sees us, we can put our arms around that aspect of God when we see him as that loving daddy that says, yes, you can. You're my child. You'll always be my child no matter what. That's the aspect of our spiritual father we need to understand. Sometimes our perception, though, or your perspective or your perception of your earthly dad, if that's not real good, sometimes we have a habit as human beings of applying that to our spiritual father, and sometimes we think he's maybe a lot more like our earthly father than he really is. Even if you have a really good perspective and a perception of your earthly dad because you happen to have a really good earthly dad, our Heavenly Father is not just a better version of your dad. Your earthly dad. He is the absolute perfect. He is the perfection of fatherhood, not just a better version of our earthly one. He is absolutely perfect Heavenly Father. So if you've had a good dad or a bad dad, don't let your life experience and therefore your viewpoint of your earthly human father or stepfather, whoever is the father figure in your life, don't let that affect or distort who your Heavenly Father really is, because he's a million times greater than what you could put him in if you've tried to put him in a box like that. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1. And we'll close with this. And we have two more sessions to look at. We're going to end in our next two sessions this afternoon and evening. We're going to talk about and look at growing up to be like Dad. And Jesus Christ is our example that shows us that as well. How to grow up and be like Dad. Because that's what he expects. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1. 1 John, it's a little further back. 3 verse 1. Okay. Oh, going the wrong way. 1 John 3. You got the gray 3 on page 1367. 1 John 3, 1. So now. Or excuse me, wrong one. Look, verse 1. See it, the little one over there by the word look? Look at how great a love the Father has given us that we should be called God's children. And we are. Wow. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet been revealed. And he goes on. Notice he says, look how great a love the Father has given to us. The word, the original language, is a lot stronger than given. It's more in the idea of overwhelmed us with or completely lavished upon us, is poured out on us. How great a love is that, that we should be called God's children? The guy that created the earth by speaking, the guy that created the solar system and the stars and all that just by speaking a word, and then the guy that came became flesh and is one of the folks, I forget who said what now, Kevin or Keaton or somebody, walked on water. That guy. And it didn't have to be frozen. That was Kevin. That guy, that God, said, I love, put your name in that sentence, enough, I want them to be my child. I want them to be my spiritual child, and not just for a day or two or 100 years. For a bazillion years, eternity. I want them to have a relationship with me. Their soul is valuable enough. The uniqueness and the intricacies and the beauty of that person's soul. Put your name in that place. He said, I'll make it possible for that one to become my child forever. Relationship with me. I'll be their daddy. They could be my kid. Think of it in those terms. You're a kid of the Creator. That's a pretty powerful thing when you stop and think about who he is. If it doesn't kind of freak you out a little bit sometimes when you think about how grand and how amazing and majestic and powerful and whatever word you can put in there, whatever adjective to describe God. That God considers you his child. If you've accepted the invitation to be in the family. That's a pretty amazing thing. That's the Father that's going to get you through every struggle or difficulty, every success, every high point in your life, every low point in your life. That's the Father that Jesus said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Jesus said it, but at the idea still is behind our Father. Your Father's always going to be there. That's the Father that can never quit loving you no matter what you do. Can never quit accepting you into the family no matter what you do. And loves you enough to not ever let you become just a spoiled, rotten brat in the family of God. He will guide you, instruct you, discipline you, whatever it takes through his perfect love. And we're going to see now in the next two sessions that he wants us to grow up and be like him. And you know what? The next answer to the question on your shirts, who do you say that I am? Well, he's the perfect instruction and the perfect guide to show us how to grow up and be like Dad. So that's what we're going to look at this evening. Who would like to close us in a word of prayer? Just thank God for our last 30 minutes, and that's it. Okay, whoever's going to thank God for our time we had here is also going to thank God for the food that we have and our wonderful kitchen crew. Sure, go ahead, sir.
Dear Lord,